Hold on a second. Hold on a second.
Peace I live with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
Yesterday when I was telling her I was nervous, and then I heard Patty say the same thing in Sabbath school, and I was like, wow, that's good. I feel really underqualified to speak to you guys today. I'm scared. But I really hope that something I can say can make some sort of impact or inspire someone or encourage some new thoughts. I just want to pray quickly before I start, though. Dear God, please calm my nerves and help me to speak wisely. Amen. So in September last year, 2024, I started the 1 year in mission and service course at Newbold College. I want to start by thanking you all for your support, donations, and prayers. It's really hard to compress how unreal this experience was into just this presentation, but I hope I can convey just how much of an impact it had on me and how this course changed my life. You were really generous, so much so that I'm able to donate the remainder after the trip to Adra Serbia, where it will be used to support the projects that I'm going to talk about today. So thank you so much. As a small child in reception, I had to come home early from school at lunchtime because I found it really hard being away from home. I can't remember any other child in my class feeling the same way or doing the same thing, but for me, I found it all way too overwhelming. I liked things just the way they were. When I was about 10, I went away on a residential trip with school. People were a little homesick, I think, but nobody as much as me. Late into the night, I was so distressed and upset that my teacher had to stay with me and comfort me. I just wanted to go home and be surrounded by familiarity. I always found a change in routine and environment unsettling, and I liked to stick to what I knew. I felt like change disturbed my peace. At university, my experience was overwhelmed by a want, yet again, to go home. I really struggled being away. Adjusting to a whole new rhythm of life without the people I was closest to was humbling and lonely. Contrary to most people's experience of finishing uni and graduating, I was really glad to leave and move back and continue my nice little life here in Hemel Hempstead. So then I settled into a really comfortable NHS admin job, and I really liked my routine. An easy drive to work, rotating about 5 lunchtime walking routes, ballet on a Wednesday. It was all very structured, comfortable, and familiar, and also, I thought, peaceful. But a year and a bit into this routine, I could feel things starting to get stagnant. When I looked at my year in work in that job, I felt like I'd learned a lot and I could see how it had all been good for me, but I felt like it was time for something new. If not now, then when? It was time for me to challenge myself, to grow up, spread my wings past Hertfordshire and go and learn something new. I wanted to change and challenge my need for familiarity. I knew a few people who had done a course at Newbold called 1 Year in Mission Service, which is a few months at the college learning and then going on a mission trip somewhere abroad. So I asked them about it, and they all had one word that they kept using. Sorry, could you change the slide? Oh, other way. Life-changing. Was I ready for my life to change, though? When life is not bad, it's quite nice, actually, peaceful, I think. Do I really want it to change altogether? What waits for me in that unknown? Sometimes ignorance is bliss, or at least it feels like it. Do I want to do something that might show me things I don't want to see or make me feel things I don't want to feel and push me out of my comfort zone? As someone who always found change difficult, am I even capable already for something like that? How could I, the kid who had to go home at lunchtime, live far away from home? I want an easy life, and nothing about it seems very peaceful to me. But I thought, in principle, it's not good to avoid doing things that can make a difference for myself and others in the name of comfort. Sometimes comfort can really be selfishness and complacency. It was time for me to stop centering my comfort and get out into the real world and see how God could use me in a new context. I don't know if I'm capable already, but again, God qualifies the called. And so I applied to the course and I got in, and I went to tell my managers that I was quitting my job. Something in me felt foolish about leaving behind something that had nothing wrong with it in favor of the unknown. But Matthew 6, verse 34 says, "Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." I'm very blessed in that I had No responsibilities, and if there was any time to do something like this, it was now. So I trusted that it was a leap worth making, and not to worry that I wouldn't be able to find work again after. Thankfully, my work ended up approving my time on the course as a career break, so I didn't need to worry about that anymore. But I was really worried about starting the course. I left for Newbold College, Bracknell, on the 30th of August, 2024. I packed lots of things to keep myself occupied for the 3 months that I would spend there. Books, arts and crafts, even weird things like sequin art, because I thought I'd probably have a lot of free and alone time. So for context with the course, the first 3 months are based at the campus and then the next 3 months are on the mission trip. But for now, I'm in the car, surrounded by my stuff, all this random stuff to do, thinking, what have I got myself into? And preparing myself for a quiet and lonely 3 months of studying and solitude. I said an emotional goodbye to my family and I walked alone to the canteen. I was so nervous. I was thinking, I'm going to spend the next 6 months with these people and I hope I can make a good impression on them and I hope they're nice. A very tall girl came up to me and she said, excuse me, in that tone. And she was standing next to a very short girl and they both had cheeky grins. And she was like, we've been watching you all day. I was like, oh. And she was like, not in a creepy way, we were just really excited that someone else was moving in and we're trying to guess if it was you or your sister who was moving. For me, this interaction has got to be heaven sent because it totally put my mind at rest. Maybe it sounds dramatic, but from that moment on, I knew that I was where I was meant to be. Immediately, we were getting along and giggling together, and all of a sudden, the scary people that I had imagined in my head became exactly that. They were just in my head, they weren't the reality. I look back at that day and I think I just had no idea how many memories and jokes and core life experiences that I would share with these people. Newbold is a fantastic place. Of course, like anywhere, it's really what you make it, but I look at my cohort and I just think, yeah, God knew what he was doing when he put this group of people together. It's totally international, people from St. Helena Island, Macedonia, Hungary, Germany, just to name a few, and everyone brought something unique. I came to Newbold thinking that I was an introvert, but now I know that's not true. I had some preconceptions about Christian college as well. Almost all my close friends are secular, and I spend most of my time in secular spaces. I've also already been to university, and most of the emphasis in my degree was on critical thinking. I had an image of a Christian college as a place where you're kind of told what to think rather than how to think. I thought it would be very conservative, quiet, maybe a few judgy people. Likewise, I thought that the theology would be similar, but I was so wrong. We had lectures every day, weekday, a mixture of more specific to mission trips and also more theological theory, where I felt challenged and intellectually stimulated. On Fridays, we helped the Newbold Church toddler group. That was a really good idea because it prepared us for working with the community and each other, because obviously knowing people in a social context is kind of different to a more practical one. So it was good that we worked together as a foundation for our mission trips. Newbold also have some really great worship programs going on. On Wednesdays, we have The Experience. It's a sort of more low-key kind of worship, and it's more interactive as well. So it usually has an icebreaker or some sort of group activity. And also, a lot of people share testimonies there, which is really impactful. And we also have Vespers on a Friday night, which is followed by one of the highlights of the week, a jam session. And most weeks we had to get kicked out of the room because we were just having such a nice time and we didn't realize it was like 10:30. The people I met at Newbold, I write a diary every day, and on the first day I wrote that they seemed like good people to do life with. That was definitely true. Community is so important. Hebrews 10 verses 24 to 25, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. Basically, community is essential, not optional. It becomes really easy to isolate yourself. I know I've done this before, in the name of protecting your peace, because it feels like dealing with other people and their problems is too much work. But at the end of the day, the Bible literally tells us that we have to make the effort. That's really the only way to share and receive God's love. We spent all the time we could together, foosball tournaments, very late night walks, learning and teaching chess, lots of day trips, movies, nail painting, badminton, singing karaoke until we lost our voices, and dancing whenever we could. Definitely not boring and judgy people that I thought. I have never slept so little or laughed so hard. The idea that I would spend 3 months crafting in solitude in my room went out the window very quickly. To sum it up, I moved out of Newbold on the 12th of December. Less than 24 hours later, on the 13th of December, I was on a flight to Hungary to hang out with my course mates. Here's a video that my friend made at the end of our time, just to sum up what was going on.
I always knew this day would come. We'd be standing one by one with our future in our hands. So many dreams, so many plans. I always knew after all these years there'd be laughter, there'd be tears. But never thought I'd walk away with so much joy but so much pain. And it's so hard.
I missed them so much. As you can see, we had a great time. In the fun and chaos of it all, I felt so peaceful. It's really easy to feel peaceful when everything is going well. But in November, the options for our mission trips were announced. I wasn't picky about where I went or what I did, but I did have one main requirement, which was that I wanted to go as a group, because I thought that going as a pair would be a bit too close for comfort. Also, we all got on so well, as you can see, and it just made sense. But as we were flicking through the booklet of trip options, almost all of them had something in common, which was number of missionaries for each project, 2, maximum. During the lecture break, we went into the corridor, and for once, we were all very quiet. We were really sad to be being split up. We had a huge group hug, and we were saying all silly things to each other, like, no, we'll find a way to go, I want to go with you all, like, we won't be split up. In that moment, it was like, what is the point of us all getting on so well when it's going to be over so soon? Proverbs 16 verse 9 says, in their hearts humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. To be honest though, in times like these, Bible verses like this seem almost frustrating, because it's like, well, I know that things would be better if we went as a group, so my course is correct, and I can't see why my steps should be different. But you do just have to get on with it. I was very intrigued by the advert for the project called the City Center of Influence in Sarajevo, Bosnia and Herzegovina. The project seemed right up my alley, teaching English, health workshops, and community work. But also, if you don't ask, you don't get. So I wrote to the coordinator, and I asked if they would take 5 of us, since 5 of us were interested. This was seriously an answered prayer, because he said yes, that would be great. Now I could be excited. The country seemed cool and exciting, a mix of cultures but not worlds away from what I knew, interesting things to do, and my friends to do them with. Not only that, but again, if you don't ask, you don't get. We're meant to go for 3 months, but we asked if we could stay for 6, and that was approved as well. This time, it seemed my steps were in line with the course I had planned for myself. Everything had fallen into place just how I wanted it to, and felt all the more blessed and special for the wait. Already, my long-standing anxiety around change and new things felt like it was dissolving. I was really excited to go. I had been scared for Newbold, and look how that had turned out. And on 20th of January this year, we flew Ryanair above the Balkan Mountains and landed in Sarajevo, capital of Bosnia and Herzegovina, and our home for the next 6 months. My friend Julia made a video about the experience, which gives a good picture of our life out there.
Thank you.
guys. It was a good video as well, and it meant that you could see the place, but never mind, I guess. Basically, what she says in the video, you get to see all the pretty streets and about the project that we're going to be doing there. The center of influence, but I'll leave it there. We had a great time. And in the fun and chaos of it all, I felt, no, that's the wrong part, sorry. Do you mind trying it one more time? Sorry, just. Sorry, guys. Anyway, the video ends after my friends talk about a few of the things we did, which was putting supplies on the Adra hooks that are around the city so people could take them. We were also doing... Well, try it again, yeah. Is that all right? Never mind. Anyway, yeah, you get to see the streets. It's like, Sarajevo is gorgeous. It's kind of got this mixture of like Ottoman influence and like Austro-Hungarian influence as well. And yeah, it's just a little insight into our lives there. But the video ends with Julia saying, we were unexpectedly moved to Serbia. Pause. I told you that it was gonna be our home until July. We had set up our flat, decorated it with paintings and crochet decorations, and bought lots and lots of summer clothes, and I told my job that I wouldn't be back until July. That was the plan. So why am I standing here today in front of all of you? And you've probably seen me swanning about Hemel for the past couple of months. Why am I already back? Remember that I said everything had fallen into place just how I wanted it to. Emphasis on the I. There is another video about Serbia, but I don't know if that's going to work, but let me talk a bit about the move. The center of influence was experiencing delays with the building work. So instead of the teaching that we went there for, we were doing manual work on the building site, like cleaning it up and making the rooms ready for use, and also kind of marketing for the beginning of the center of influence. There were some days the whole church would get together and everyone would have their own cleaning task. There'd be like 15 of us there working hard from 9 to 5, but this wasn't every day. And we were having to get a bit creative with what we were doing on a day-to-day basis. Even though it was a beautiful place and a great community, our potential and presence there as missionaries was not able to be effective to its full capacity. And so the decision was made that we should be moved to Serbia, where ADRA have two projects which are already well established. The problem was, we were told on a Tuesday that we were leaving on Thursday. And that's 2 days to come to terms with the moving, pack all our stuff away, and say goodbye to everyone. But that isn't what I wanted. I felt settled in Sarajevo, comfortable, like I did in my admin job before I left. Peaceful, if you will. But again, sometimes comfort can be selfishness and complacency. It was obvious that we would have more opportunities to impact the community in Serbia. And so we had to put ourselves and our plans to one side and take the steps that God wanted us to take. But 2 days' notice just felt crazy. It didn't even include a Sabbath to say goodbye to people at the church. And we were they're a really nice church, really small church community. You can see them in the bottom there. They took us on trips, and they were always there for us. And so we asked if we could stay till Sunday, and they said yes. So now we could say goodbye properly to Sarajevo. Everything, the setup, the people and the places, and the life we thought we would have for 4 more months. We had short notice, but so did the church. Obviously, they thought that they would have 5 eager missionaries with them into the summer. And so on Sabbath, when we said goodbye, we didn't expect much given the short turnaround, but they called us up onto the stage. It was so sweet. They gave us these personalized gifts, which was crazy considering that they had literally only a couple of days' notice. They bought us like lamps with Bible verses that related to each of us on it and like specific thanks to each of us. In that, I really realized how much I like a small church community. There's a lot of investment into each person and a lot of impact that each person can have. And I know that we all in Sarajevo impacted each other in our short time there. We spent the next few days ticking off our list of things to do in Sarajevo. Sightseeing, meeting up with our friends, eating the foods for the last time. As a little side note, I really have to recommend Bosnia as a place to visit. There's some pictures, gorgeous place, and it's surrounded by mountains, and there's a blend of cultures, so much history. So if you take anything away from today, put Sarajevo on your holiday destination list. After these days to process it, I felt totally at peace with leaving. Peace is a really interesting word. My colleague in the NHS and I have had a good few conversations about the idea of choosing peace. Actually, for a while, it was almost a catchphrase of mine. When it gets too much, when there's drama or stuff that's just silly to deal with, choose peace. Someone says something out of order, choose peace. There's something happening that feels too overwhelming and a huge challenge, choose peace. But especially in the move to Serbia, I realized that that viewpoint of choosing peace was really lacking in nuance. To be honest, it was rooted in avoidance more than anything. Simply, it's usually easier to just walk away and say, I'm protecting my peace, and then you don't have to confront something that's hard. And I have the next slide, thank you. Thank you. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Peace comes from steady trust, not external comfort. If your peace rests on the foundation that everything has to be within your control, then you choose to avoid all situations which will unsettle your comfort, then that's not real peace at all. Peace isn't the absence of problems, instead it transcends them. It's saying, this is uncomfortable, it certainly doesn't feel peaceful, but I surrender control and I choose to put my faith beyond myself and beyond the circumstance and feel okay with the fact that I can't control everything. It's truly believing in the idea of Philippians 4, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That is when I found peace with the move. Let's see if this video works about what we did in Belgrade. Try this one. I don't think so. Shame. In Belgrade, in a nutshell, and again, the video is nice because there's actual clips from us doing the work, but we did, there's a community center for children from Roma backgrounds, and there was also a bus for the homeless where they could come to get supplies and showers. That was, in a nutshell, that was what we did. And I really loved the work we did in Belgrade. Let me just, could I have the next slide, please? Sorry, there we go. This is the Borča Community Center. I really loved the work that we did in Belgrade. It clearly had a huge impact on the service users too, because there was one girl who I'm with in the picture there, she drew like the ADRA logo and she was like, oh, this is the ADRA. And so that was really sweet. The kids really love going there. The buses in Belgrade are free. So after our work, we would hop on a bus and see where it took us and explore. I think that this kind of spontaneity really sums up the month in Belgrade. I loved it so much. Such a busy city, traffic and people everywhere, so much to do and see. Like the juxtaposition between the more tranquil Sarajevo and the bustling Belgrade, the month in Serbia was always busy and on the go. Compared to the cozy time we had in Bosnia, there is a time for everything. We were invited to weekends away almost every weekend, and everything was non-stop, but I loved it. I felt like I was living to my fullest capacity and making the most of every moment. I realized that I'm someone who finds peace in busyness. I like it when lots of things are going on. But we were only going to be there for a month because there were already volunteers coming at the beginning of May. So my plans of a Balkan summer were no more, and I realized I would have 2 months of nothing ahead of me when I got back to England. At that point, that felt more outside of my comfort zone than living abroad and interacting with new people every day. Something I would have been really nervous for, can I have the next slide, please? At the other project, the bus for the homeless, I was talking to a man who asked me, "You're a girl from London, why do you want to be here with poor people?" That was a really strange thing to respond to. I was kind of like, I love it here, I love Belgrade, and I came because they were asking for volunteers and I wanted to help and have a new experience. I think the implication of his statement was sort of like, by my nature of being a London girl, I shouldn't or wouldn't want to associate or interact with the poor people of Belgrade, as if they're any lesser. I think Jesus is the best example of how our love and friendship shouldn't be bound or restricted by these categories. He was friends with all people and understood that there's love to be shared and things to be learned from everyone. Also, the Bible is clear. 1 John 3:17, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? What good is it to stick to one place or one viewpoint or one kind of people or one type of life or do everything for ourselves? Then we get stuck and our vision is narrowed and we aren't able to share and receive God's love to its fullest capacity. Ignorance is not always bliss and comfort is not always peaceful. I learned so much from my experience in Serbia, and like the waiter in the hotel, that man probably has no idea how much I learned from the whole experience. As the month drew to a close, I could see why Bosnia for 6 months was not the way that things should have panned out for us. And as much as I was loving Belgrade, I could also see that a month was the perfect amount of time. Like Ecclesiastes 3, there's a time for everything. It was the right time to go home. But we were told at Newbold that the strangest period of the process would be coming back home, and they were definitely right. I've been home for 2.5 months and I'm still adjusting. On my way to my graduation thing for the course, I had a thought in the car, which was that I just wish I hadn't done it, because I wish I didn't see and experience so much. Life would be easier if I just didn't know. Ignorance is bliss. But again, that is prioritizing my comfort. So many people had a huge impact on me in those 6 months, like the children's story, and I also must have had an impact on them. Just because things would be easier without knowing, it doesn't mean that they would be better. It's about not being ignorant and still asking God to give us peace so that we can continue with joy and share what we have learned to help others. Also, if I was listening to me right now, I might be thinking like, womp womp, you had a great year of learning and memories and travel. It sounds great, just be grateful. It's such a crazy experience to have, and that's really fair. I'm really grateful for the whole process, and I'm also grateful to be back at work and home with my family. I'm also grateful that this kind of learning curve has come with challenges that were never dangerous, so it's really easy for me to say, rely on God and choose his peace. I'm totally aware of that. But I can only talk from my own experience, and I want to be honest about the experience and what it taught me, which includes all of these feelings and ideas. For me, now, the whole process feels like a strange dream. It was my whole life for a whole time, and all of a sudden, I'm back in my childhood bedroom and sitting at my work desk again, and it feels like everything has changed and nothing has changed at the same time. After being moved around, living far away, and sharing a room for a good few months, this return might seem like the most peaceful thing. But when I went back to work a couple of weeks ago, I literally couldn't sit still. I had to keep getting up to do random things like filling people's water bottles, and I felt anything but peaceful. I wished I could just get up and do what I did when I felt overwhelmed on the trip, walk to a gorgeous viewpoint in Sarajevo overlooking the city and the mountains, or hop on a bus in Serbia with no end goal. Instead, now I have to sit with my discomfort. How do I sit at my desk when there's a whole world out there and so much else I could be doing? But again, Ecclesiastes 3, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. God also reminds us that he will continue what he started in us in Philippians 1 verse 6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Now that I'm back in Hemel, what can I do with what I've learned? How can I apply it to my local community? There's no language barrier now, and here I have communities that I've known for years. I'm not a missionary here, I'm just part of the community. Community comes with its ups and downs. No one's perfect, especially the more you get to know people. For example, 5 of us went on the mission trip together. When you're around people all the time, it really is through thick and thin. There were some real low points where it became apparent that a huge part of the mission was each other. Galatians 6 verse 2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. You learn tolerance, compromise, and realize that being individualistic is less hard, but also less rewarding. And sometimes it's not about strangers. It's about those who are closest to us, who know the good, the bad, and the ugly about you and you them. And that's really hard to practice. Paul reminds us in 1 Thessalonians, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business and work with your hands. God works with us and through us in the quiet. In the mundane, we don't have to go far at all. Sometimes where needs us most is right where we are. It can be easy to get frustrated with the mundane and miss opportunities within it. And sometimes we don't even realize our biggest impact. Think about the waiter and the bread. Our impact is not always easily measurable, like, oh, I spent 3 months volunteering. Maybe the biggest impacts that we can have are also the quietest. Colossians 3:23 reminds us that whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. Mission isn't or shouldn't be taking a bit of time out of our lives to work for God. Each day we live makes up our lives, and our lives should reflect God's love, so each day we must practice it in whatever we're doing. I'm sure that you can tell I'm really preaching to myself here as much as to you. Actually, writing this sermon really explained a lot of things for me, and I'm reminding myself of the lessons again and again. They're all obviously so much easier said than done. I can stand up here and say it all, but practicing it is a different ballgame. And to be fair, I think that the whole experience might have triggered some kind of quarter-life crisis for me. Now more than ever, I feel like I don't know what I'm doing. I'm really blessed to have so many options, but there's a lot of uncertainty in my mind. When everything is so exciting and busy, going back to a quieter life is strange. In the quiet come uncomfortable questions that feel like they disturb peace, like, what should I do now? What's my purpose here? Or, I've spent all day watching telly, and there's so much more I could be doing. There's only one way to make peace with these questions, and it's surrendering it all to God. Whatever the burden is, whether we feel like it's big or small, if it feels bratty or if it feels like it shouldn't be a big deal, God wants us to leave it with him. Psalm 55, verse 22, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. Just as I had to trust that God was putting us where we needed to be through the last year, at Newbold, in Bosnia, in Serbia, I just have to continue to trust that this is where I'm meant to be right now. That once again, I need to embrace the discomfort and ask for peace. In fact, also it's easy to forget that we're often living in the times that we once prayed for. Peace is complicated. Sometimes it's being okay with a slower pace, or sometimes it's saying, okay, God, I'll go for it, even if it's scary or I think I can't. It's being able to come out of your comfort zone, whether that is quiet or chaos, and letting God use you in ways you never imagined, trusting him through the process. For me, the reality of being a missionary ended up being quite different to my idea of the role before I went. I had ideas before about how God wanted me to grow, and it turned out that there were things I had to confront that I never realized I needed to. In showing these things to us, God equips us better to face life, increases our reliance on him, and shows us that our capabilities are so much stronger with his help. Don't choose complacency in the name of peace. Of course, there are sometimes situations that you really do need to walk away from or not walk into. That's obvious, and you have to use your discretion and pray for guidance. But the situations I'm referring to are those where it becomes apparent that there's a real danger for us to choose peace into loneliness and a life not lived as fully as it should be. A life where we center our comfort instead of other people. Especially in such an individualistic world, there can be a tendency just to run away without consequence and miss out on deep connections or situations where you can make a real impact or be impacted. A small challenge for us all this week is to do something you feel maybe God has been calling you to do that you've been putting off because it's uncomfortable. If you feel maybe uncomfortable doing things alone, maybe challenge yourself to go and do something alone that you've always wanted to do but never felt brave enough. Maybe there's someone you need to talk to about something. Maybe it's as small as just popping up to ask how someone is or having a casual chat with someone who you usually can't really be bothered to talk to but who's very lonely. Sometimes also we choose peace by avoiding listening to conflicting viewpoints because we feel like they disturb our peace or threaten what we know. Maybe we should be having discussions with people who disagree with us and being open-minded to new ideas or learning how to stand our ground. Or maybe the challenge is just to be grateful with where you are. God can't use you to your fullest capacity if you refuse to move as he wants you to. God can't use you if you don't do things, and whatever that is, it doesn't have to be far away. It's amazing how you can surprise yourself and what you can do with God's help and what he can do through you. I really never thought I'd be able to do anything like this. If you told me like 3 years ago that I would do it, I really wouldn't believe you. But God's plans for us are sometimes so different to what we have planned for ourselves and so much better. His peace, not our peace. Don't avoid things just because they might be complicated. That's not choosing peace. Ignorance is not always bliss. Instead, choose to be bliss without the ignorance. Choose God's peace through chaos, whatever the chaos is for you. Choose to know and to trust and say to God, your will, not mine. Choose to learn and experience and struggle and help and face challenges. And through it all, surrender to God and accept his peace. John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Amen.
Wow, wasn't that wonderful? You know, a personal experience of something like that is so much richer than somebody telling you about someone else. That was a wonderful presentation. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Shall we sing our closing hymn then?